gardeners, and welcome to Garden Planet. You're with Selena and Karen, and today we're going to be talking about winter ills and how your garden can help.
Hooray.
I know. It's probably something we should have talked about in the last show as we spluttered and coughed our way through it. Apologies to the listeners for that. But, yeah, definitely an appropriate time and topic to be discussing this, because let's face it, the flu is a bummer.
Yeah, isn't it's it? A big drag.
I wonder if we Selena and I thought we've got this West Auckland cold, but it seemed to go on for weeks. A flu drags on, it gets passed around, kind of clears up, then comes back again, drags on, gets passed around and so on. That's what I feel.
I was over it, and then it just suddenly hit me again.
And other people have been saying the same thing. So I think we may have to put that cold into the flu category there. And to make matters worse, when you're in the thick of it, your short-term memory loss seems to kick in, and it's easy to forget what to do for yourself and your loved ones. Do you find that? I think after I've had the flu,
when you're laid low, you can't go out and get the things that you need to get.
Well, there's that too. Yeah.
Unless you tell someone else to who's not sick.
Yeah, so crazy. So it's been quite interesting for me going, I've got these things in my garden. Well, why didn't I, me of all people? Because there's these convenient medicines found in everyday gardens, and I'm going to talk about a few of those today.
That's far away, Karen.
Yeah. Hey, did you know it's officially acknowledged? I'm not sure if this is just the website saying that, but I actually personally agree. It's officially acknowledged that plant medicine can increase body's resistance, repair and recovery mechanisms, an outstanding feat that pharmaceutical medicine has not been able to yet replace.
Wow.
Interesting. Yeah. That's a direct quote from this website. I'm not going to name the website because I can't be bothered dealing with any listeners that may oppose that, but a lot of people feel that way. And it's a view, but we can get into maybe the pharmaceuticals versus plants thing in another topic, but I just thought that was a really interesting, I think it was because it covers the resistance, repair and recovery mechanisms where pharmaceuticals are more isolated. Anyway, just a thought to begin with. So let's go straight to it. Sage tea, the thinker's tea. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, sage is a pungent, bitter and astringent. It's an antibacterial, a natural antiseptic that is high in vitamin K, vitamin C and vitamin A. Sage has shown to enhance memory, that's why it's called the thinker's tea, and is also a very effective tea for relieving your sore throat. It also alleviates painful cramping in the gut, apparently. And I've been told that your throat will thank you as it tightens and tones the irritated and swollen tissue.
Okay. Would you use this tea, dried tea, or the
I've got a little recipe
leaves?
Here because I knew that you'd ask that. Yeah. Okay, so to make a tea, you can use either hot, you can use either dried or fresh. Bear in mind that if you're using fresh, you need to double the amount.
Okay.
But this is, if you've got a pen or pencil out there, guys, write this down. Pour 1 cup of hot water over 1 teaspoon of dried sage or 2 teaspoons of fresh sage. And we're talking about the leaves here,
mm-hmm.
Okay, not the roots or the stems. Cover, it's really important to cover your teas.
Right.
Reason being, you want all those volatile oils that tend to fly off into the atmosphere to stay in your cuppa.
Okay.
So cover it with, a little small plate.
Yeah.
I try not to use aluminium foil too much, but that would be perfectly acceptable. Whatever you can find, and steep for 10 minutes, and then drink. Strain and drink. So that's your sage there. Now, did you know what they mean by toning? You hear that a lot in herbal remedies.
Not really. What does it mean?
It means basically if you go to the gym and you want to tone yourself up, toning means to strengthen and tighten. So if you want to tone your muscles up.
Okay.
So you're not going for a full-blown, I want to double my muscle size.
Yeah.
But it's more just so when it comes to your body on the inside, it's the same thing. So it's strengthening and tightening. up your organs or whatever part you're
going for. So maybe they're a bit loose and flabby and they'll just...
I don't know the exact science and anatomy of it all, but I guess everything needs to... Yeah, you don't want things to be...
Is this on a cellular level?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Well said, Selena. So, and if you've got your a sore throat and it's all inflamed and just, yeah, that's what, a bit of a mess. You take the sage and it's thought that, well, I guess that's why they call it an astringent, so it's good for that. Oh, I don't know. But I'm a big one on, I always get sore throats because on my other job I do, I talk a lot. As a teacher, so, yeah. So I find sage like a go-to.
So you're sipping it in your morning tea break?
Yeah, sometimes. Mm. When the memory, you know, oh, that's right, sage, yeah. I need to write these things down.
Okay.
So next thing is thyme.
Yes, yep.
Thyme is, did you get that one too?
Yeah.
Yeah, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory and aids respiratory ailments. Also said to help with digestion, immune support, pain relief, and as a mood enhancer, which I found interesting. Didn't know that. Thyme tea will also ease your sore throat, especially when it comes with a thick white coating on the tongue. Congested mucus in the lungs and spasmodic coughing. So that would have been a really good one.
That's great, because thyme is a common herb that is easy to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not something that you have to hunt around for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unlike, and Selena and I have both found this, moving on, unlike echinacea, we've both tried growing that one.
Nope. Doesn't work for
if
me.
If you're not sure, I can never spell echinacea. I had to put into, I think I misspelt it 10 times whilst doing my studies. So, listen, a little quick tip there. If you want to know how to remember how to spell echinacea, you say it like this. Echinacea.
I've written it down here and I go, E, China, Sia.
Oh, yes. So, yeah, we haven't had much luck growing ours. And so, of course, I was really excited to look into this one.
Yeah.
And what did you find out about that,
well,
Selena?
They recommend to use the roots of echinacea.
Yes.
So you need to be growing it for a while and then harvesting the roots. And then you need to make a tincture. I'm not an expert on making tinctures.
Yeah.
But that needs to be done 4 to 5 weeks before you even have a cold prevent the cold.
So the good thing about tinctures is that they keep, though, as long as you keep them in a cool, dark place. Interestingly, it's supposed to be a drought-tolerant perennial. Yet, some people treat them as a biennial. So, listeners, biennial means that every 2 years the plant will flower. Well, not every 2 years. It will flower in 2 years and then die. Am I right with
that's
that definition?
Right.
Yeah. And I feel like that's what's happened to mine. It didn't even make 1 year. It's supposed to grow to, they can grow up to 140 centimetres high. I mean, mine didn't get past 10 centimetres. But I think what happened with me, Selena, I had mine in a far too wet spot.
I think that's what happened with mine too, and it only lasted a few months.
Yeah. What they call a, do you know what a cordex is?
Oh, no.
Okay. A cordex is like the beginning, it's like the axis of a plant from where it goes from like a big sort of, almost like it looks like a bulb and then forms the stem. Okay. So often you'll see this sort of thing when on plants, it looks like they've got a big round bulb at the bottom, but it's not bulb. It's called a cordex. And then roots come out from that.
Okay.
So that's what the Echinacea purpurea has. And I'm pretty sure that's what we were growing. That's the common one. There's two Echinacea. There's actually 10 different types of Echinacea. Two of them are got medicinal properties. Oh. And this purpurea is the one that grows from the cordex, or the big round-looking thing, and then the fibrous roots. Yeah, and I feel like my one as well was too trapped in there. It couldn't expand enough as well. I had enough small sort of knock.
Well, they're sort of native to North America where they grow on the prairies.
Mm.
So they like the wide open spaces and the relatively dry conditions. And I just think Auckland conditions aren't
Yeah, well, Wikipedia states that they are only found in eastern and central North America.
Okay.
Which I think is wrong, because they are... I believe they're found in other areas, but I think they're prolific in those areas because they are, as you say, they like to grow in dry prairie type areas and open wooded areas. Anyway,
but even so, well, I failed to grow it, but I actually haven't tried the dried root on its own, like bought from a shop, so I've tried it once or twice. I'm more inclined to go for the ginger and lemon and honey.
Yeah.
You know, the
well, maybe
remedies.
Next term we should try the echinacea and see if we have better luck with our
I mean, is it
flow.
Expensive to buy?
Yeah, I think so.
Maybe
just because, yeah, well, there's research saying, oh, yes, it helps colds and flu, and there's other people saying, no. So, yeah, there's fours and not fours.
Some people swear by it and some are like...
And apparently what it comes down to is the quality of the extract you're using.
Okay.
So if you're using maybe the wrong echinacea, or if you're picking the flower, or, you know, you're doing it at the wrong time... then it's not going to be as strong. Or, yeah, so methods of preparation, all sorts of things like that. So
okay.
I think that is, could have something to do with it. But, yeah, I didn't get too far into it because my notes were starting to already get
Karen,
a bit much.
Do you have any native plants on your list?
I was hoping you would, because you've been doing that rangoa course.
Oh,
Selena,
well,
did you?
Yes, I had noted
have
a few
anything
down.
Oh great, what did you note down?
So we were shown when I went on this rangoa course, manuka and totora are very good for respiratory, and if you're getting a tickle in your throat, for to clear up your
manuka and totora.
Because they have this fire energy, apparently, in their leaves.
Mm.
They're quite dry-looking and bristly to touch.
Right.
So the Māori believe that this helps clear up the phlegm and the mucus when you're getting that, you know, bogged down feeling.
Right.
And they say to use that as a tincture as well. Or the other thing that they recommend is to do a boil-up.
Okay. What does that involve exactly?
Plenty of puha,
mm-hmm.
and maybe dandelions and plantains, or the weeds that grow really strong in your garden.
Yes.
To help strengthen, give you immunity.
Yeah.
Put in some bones, so make a bone broth, and just boil it up.
Oh, wow.
And then drink the soup. And that's supposed to really help fight whatever is going to
attack. Yeah, well, they
you.
Often do say, you know, fuel yourself up on soup when you're not well. So throw in a few medicinal herbs, especially natives.
Yeah.
And that makes sense to me. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people raving about broths.
Really good for you. And also you could use the manuka or totora in a steam vapour. Just chuck a few leaves in your bath and just inhale the steam.
Yeah.
And that will clear it.
Okay. Oh, speaking of which, another thing you can do is use peppermint. As a steam.
Yes, very good.
What did they call that?
Inhalation.
They called it, where did I write it down? They just called it a peppermint steam.
Yep.
I had a feeling there was another word there. So you pour just boiled water over a handful of leaves. So you do this with your totara.
Yep. Yep.
And
you could just put it in a basin and then throw like a bath towel over your head and breathe it in.
That's exactly what they said. Catch and breathe in the rising steam. And they said the hotter the better, but obviously take caution. So peppermint was another one. Apparently it opens up pores in the body and gives an escape route for excess heat when you have a fever. So that was interesting. And it's a bit tastier than your sage and your thyme.
True. And it's so easy to grow peppermint. It can probably take over your garden if you let it.
It's probably one of the better ones to take over your garden.
I mean, it crowds the kaikou out, so I like it.
I don't mind mowing over a bit of peppermint. It's quite nice. That was that one. Did you have anything else to add?
Okay, I've just got two or three more. Okay. Garlic. Can't forget garlic. Some people say to actually, well, if you don't want garlic fresh, you might not want to do this, but you just have it every day.
Yeah.
Crush it up, put some, with some honey and parsley as a kind of syrup.
Oh.
And
make it go down a bit.
Meant to, you know, give you immunity and prevent all sorts of things.
You can get garlic in the form of pills. Oh, not pills, capsules, where it's crushed. And I've taken those before and they're fabulous. It's called kyolic garlic. Oh, it's like an aged garlic, so that goes through some sort of process. But big benefit, it's not one of the overly expensive supplements out there, but you don't get the smelly garlic. You know, I feel like when you take fresh garlic, I'm constantly burping up garlic for the rest of the day. That's just me. Maybe it's my constitution.
Well, that's when you grab your peppermint to counteract it.
True. So you could just, all day you could be kept busy with this, couldn't you?
And the other thing I had was chicken soup.
Ah, yes.
So your bone broth, that could be any bones, but chickens is meant to be very especially good for colds.
Yeah.
So,
And, of course, that goes really nicely. I've got a friend that makes that when she gets ill and she puts lots of ginger in hers.
Yes.
In her chicken soup. So it's more like a, almost like an oriental chicken. I don't know. It's not like your traditional. I don't even remember Mum using ginger in hers, but it's yummy though.
Mm.
Yeah.
The thing is, I haven't grown ginger in the garden.
No. It's something we need to look into. I'm sure if it was a simple one to grow, people would.
Because why does wild ginger grow so wild in our bush, but the normal ginger does not?
But the ginger root, which is the part we take, if you've looked at the root structure of wild ginger, it's like that fibrous white.
Okay.
Probably comes from, what was that word I caught? Cordex. Probably comes from that, where it's like sitting on that big cordex, then stems up, and then off the cordex comes all that white, fibrous, wild ginger root that's just everywhere.
Oh,
I've chucked diesel on that stuff.
And it doesn't.
And it just keeps coming back. I thought, I'm doing more harm than good here. This is ridiculous.
But then wouldn't that conceivably be good for colds? If it's so tough that it can grow like that, wouldn't it be really good for your immune
system? I'm sensing a whole topic on ginger here. / something else would be awesome. We should definitely look into that. Maybe look at some, what studies have been done on that? Because if plants are going to be a nuisance, then why not
you know, use them?
Yeah, take advantage of that. Definitely.
Okay, Karen, let's go to our tricky question that we've had from a listener. The question, Karen.
Oh, I believe we have a question from an anonymous caller about spider mites.
Oh.
What's that all about, Selena?
Oh, they were asking, how can I get rid of the spider mites attacking my plant?
Ah,
so
right.
I did a little investigation. I'm not sure exactly what kind of plant this listener had that the spider mites were attacking.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of spider mites themselves, okay, so spider mites will, attack your plant. They'll suck all the sap out of your plant, so your plant leaves will go all yellow and it'll wilt and look horrible.
They're after the chlorophyll, aren't they?
Well,
apparently.
They're after something.
Well, that's what I read. They're after the chlorophyll.
Some tips to help you get over this attack.
Mm.
Okay. Well, firstly, don't accept infested plants in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So if maybe you're buying plants, make sure you check that there aren't any spider mites on them. So don't bring them into your
environment. So they are transferred via leaf.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Leaf dwellers.
And secondly, the spider mites tend to attack when your plants are a bit dry and weak.
Okay.
So the thing is to get your humidity up and don't forget to water your plants.
I read that too. What they do is they pierce. They've got these little pierces on them. And they pierce the cells of the plant looking for or to suck up the chlorophyll, which is found in the sap.
Yeah.
And therefore depleting the plant of chlorophyll, which every green plant, all plants have chlorophyll. All animals have blood. Their blood.
That's their general.
And so basically the plants are covered in these tiny little holes, and it's not always noticeable at first. You think, oh, everything's looking fine. And then all of a sudden, for no reason, you think they're starting to wilt. So what I read was, so they're covered in all the leaves are covered in all these piercings. So what the plant does to react to that is it goes, oh, I'm losing moisture. Oh, dear, we can't have that. And then it closes its pores up to allow the moisture to stay in it. But it actually makes the situation worse because then it doesn't let any moisture in.
So in those emergency situations, what I'd recommend is if your plant is in a pot, you just move it to a more suitable environment.
Maybe away from other isolated.
Give it water, get the humidity up. There's also these yellow sticky traps you could use, place around the plant so that the spider mites will go onto that and get stuck because they're attracted to yellow.
Oh, is that right?
Yep.
Ah.
Another thing you can do is to apply some oil onto your plant to coat the leaves and the stems so that the sap suckers can't get their little
teeth into it.
Yeah, and it'll sort of repel them.
Oh.
Or they'll get trapped and they won't be able to move around.
As easily, make life a bit more difficult for them.
And then to bring in the big guns, what you do is provide an environment where there will be predator insects to eat them.
Ah, yes.
And so that means your ladybugs, your lacewings, and there are even predatory mites that will eat these little suckers.
Right. So that's if you're growing outdoors. Unless you want to bring all the life indoors, but yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, to be careful, even if you're spraying a natural spray like a pyrethrum or an insecticide that is supposedly organic, you're going to be killing the beneficial insects. It's best just to let nature take its course and provide other plants around that will attract the beneficial predatory insects that will eat your spider mites. You kind of have to get it in a bit of balance.
That's right.
And I've noticed when I've been looking after plants, the spider mites will go after the weak ones, but they also, if they see too many of one plant, they'll just keep multiplying and think, oh, they've provided a feast for us, and so they'll go crazy.
Yeah.
So you've got to make sure that you're not planting huge numbers of just one plant.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So there you go, happy listener. We hope that helps. Thanks for the question. Awesome. Appreciate that. And we welcome questions from anyone, and even with regards anything you want to hear about. Let us do the research for you. We love it.
Excellent. Okay, what about our plant of the week?
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. You'd spend about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia and an onion patch.
An onion patch.
Yes,
an onion. So, plant of the week this week, Selena, what is it?
Well, our plant of the week this week is the Cumble cabbage.
Ooh, how exciting.
Now, cabbage, very yummy vegetable.
I do actually like cabbage. I think, we give the cabbage a hard time, but I think it's actually more popular than most people think.
But, Karen, they're decorative as well.
Really?
You can get ornamental cabbages.
Oh.
And they come in beautiful colours, like there's red ones and frilly ones and And white ones and green ones and crinkly ones.
Come to think of it, I have actually seen them on some of the roundabouts and, you know, middle sections and roads. Yeah.
So they're from the brassica family, and they're very good to plant this time of year because, they're a cool season vegetable.
Yes, yes.
So,
and easy to grow.
Very easy.
Yeah.
So some tips for growing your cabbages.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you firm the soil down around them when you're planting out your seedlings.
Mm-hmm.
They will take about 10 weeks to come to maturity. So it's very good to watch them grow.
Is there any reason why you have to firm the soil down with them?
I think they just like to have soil around their roots. They just kind of like to feel secure.
Okay, right.
It's like they're babies. They want to be, you know, tucked in.
Yes.
They like a bit of lime. So if you're preparing your ground, maybe you can add a bit of lime.
Mm-hmm.
They do tolerate cold. But you can also, if they're very young, the seedlings, you can, to protect them, not just from the cold, you don't need to protect them from the cold really, but to protect them from chickens, put a little cloche around them.
Yeah.
And a cloche is like a cover, like a, you can cut a plastic bottle open and cover it.
Yeah.
Or what I've been using is those little lampshades that you can get from the op shop, like the glass ones. And they've got a little hole in the middle. And it'll just kind of give it a bit of a coverage.
And it'll look pretty too.
Yeah, it looks
pretty. Yeah, a bit nicer than a cloche, a plastic bottle. Oh, that's cool.
So with your cabbages, make sure not to plant them year after year in the same place. They like to have to be a bit rotated amongst your vegetable plots.
Right. Well, that would go for, I was going to say all plants, but
especially for cabbages, because they say that, but they tend to be susceptible to this disease called club root.
Oh, really?
So with their roots.
Oh.
And if you keep planting them the same year after year, they get a bit of resistance to whatever attacks them.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. That's called crop rotation, listeners. Yeah. And I think it's just about keeping the nutrients in the soil balance. So every plant has its own preference for nutrients. I'm not sure what the cabbage one, maybe what's in lime, calcium, carbonate.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Okay. And don't just plant cabbages by themselves. They like a bit of companionship. So it's recommended to plant some herbs around them and also to deter the cabbage butterflies that might eat your plants.
So what herbs?
So I've got here nasturtium's a good one.
Yeah.
Thyme.
Yeah.
Mint, sage and hyssop.
Okay. What about parsley? Did you say that one?
No, I don't have parsley.
Because
I'm
pretty sure I've seen quite a lot of parsley planted in the roundabouts.
Okay.
Two. I was looking out my car window the other day and I was like, oh, that's a good bunch of parsley.
Oh.
Okay. So
they say oregano is also a good companion.
Oh, yeah.
So, it likes to be around friends.
If you have got the time at night, I would recommend going out and hand picking off slugs and squashing. I do. I'm a bit mean. And snails. Yep.
Okay, and one more thing. If you're harvesting them, you can actually cut the tops off and put a little cross notch on where you've cut it off and it will grow again.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you just cut a little cross in the stem?
Yeah.
Like a centimetre deep or something?
Something like that.
All right, okay. I'll try that.
It reproduces itself. So that's the amazing
interesting
cabbage.
Oh, wow. Thanks for sharing. I mean, I wasn't sure. I get excited about little things, though, but that was very interesting. Thanks, Selena. Very cool.
Okay,
love
gardeners,
the pun of the week.
Go get planting your cabbages and...
Oh, and yeah, with regards to your flu remedies we talked about, just bear in mind, listeners, if you are taking drugs from the doctor, just be aware of any drug interactions there. Just Google it first or ask your doctor.
Okay, have a great week.
Okay, see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.